something I don't already know. I know that you can't stand these things I'm preaching in the streets, but how can I contain the truth I hold inside? All the hurting people that I see, so I don't mind putting up with you and all the things you say. I'm not about to stop or even change my ways.
Hello friends, you are tuned in to the True Stream Oasis podcast. You can find the True Stream Oasis podcast at truthstream.podomatic.com. True Stream is a part of the Revelations Radio Network, and you can find the Revelations Radio Network at revelationsradionetwork.com. It's many hosts and one message of salvation, and that message is that salvation can only be found through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm your host, Amos Ridley. And this is the day that the Lord has made, so let us be glad and rejoice in it. Though we sit in darkness, the Lord will be our light, and that is that spiritual darkness that is descending. In the words of the Old Testament, it says, "Watchmen, what is left of the night? What is left of the night?" And the watchman replies, "Morning is coming, but also the night." It is getting darker for those who are in spiritual darkness, but for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Son of God, the light of the world, it is getting brighter and brighter. God is opening the eyes of our spiritual understanding and preparing us for these last days. I'm broadcasting here from the top of a building in Westchester, Pennsylvania. We're out in the open here. It's pretty cool, guys. We got the laptop set up, got the mic set up. If you hear a bell going off or the wind blowing, you'll know what it is. I was doing a couple takes here a little bit earlier, and the bell was going off. That's pretty cool. But it's a little bit different here. Kind of reminds me of the Old Testament where it says, he says, "What troubles you now that you've all gone up to the rooftops?" You know, and it's that whole thing in the Old Testament where, they didn't have bullhorns, they didn't have laptops, they didn't have loudspeakers, you know. So when people went up to, as a watchman, or if you had a message, you went up to the roof and you cried out to the people. It was a way of casting your voice out further. So, yeah, we're recording from the rooftop here, and we're shouting it out, you know, getting the message out here. We're going to do something really cool here. I'm with a Jewish friend. His name is Ezra Elijah, and we took a few minutes here before we started the podcast to record a prayer that he chants in Hebrew. You will hear the English translation, but I'm praying that this will be a blessing to you guys. It was really beautiful, and it was a really cool thing, and it was a great experience. So we're going to start out with this, and I want you guys to open your ears, open your hearts, most importantly, and let this be a blessing to you. Now my Jewish brother Ezra is going to chant the Hashki Veinu prayer.
This is the Hashki Veinu prayer, a prayer in which we praise God for His peace and protection.
Hashki Veinu Adonai Eloheinu L'shalom V'yamidenu Malkeinu Malkeinu L'chaim Ufrosh aleinu Sukkat shlomecha V'taknenu b'yetza Tova milfanecha V'hoshyenu l'man shemecha. Baruch atadonai hapore sukkat shalom aleinu V'yokol mo Yisrael V'yol Yerushalayim.
Help us, our Father, to lie down in peace, and awaken us to life again, our King. Spread over us your shelter of peace, Guide us with your good counsel. Save us because of your mercy. Shield us from enemies and pestilence, from starvation, sword, and sorrow. Remove the evil forces that surround us. Shelter us in the shadow of your wings. You, O God, guard us and deliver us. You are a gracious and merciful King. Guard our coming and our going. Grant us life and peace, now and always. Spread over us the shelter of your peace. Praised are you, Lord, who spreads a shelter of peace over us, over all his people Israel, and over Jerusalem. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that Hebrew prayer and the English translation. For those of you who do not understand Hebrew, it's a beautiful language, isn't it? There's a portion of Scripture in the Old Testament that says that the Lord will restore unto us a pure language, and hopefully all of us one day will be able to speak Hebrew and get back to that pure language. Title of the podcast today is Fearing for the Calf Idol. And there's been a lot of talk about the economic status, the situation that we have going on here in America with the devaluing of the dollar and the rising food costs and the rising gas prices and everybody feeling the pressure of the economic situation. There's a lot of talk about the Illuminati and about what's going on and, all the conspiracies, whether the Illuminati or the elites and the secret society are fomenting this, whether it's on purpose, to bring in the Amero. And I've set a foundation of understanding for that. You guys can reference some of the other podcasts that I've done here on TrueStream Oasis. You can go back and listen to the Selling of America podcast, which talks about, the corporations being bought out here in America by foreigners. They're transferring the wealth to other nations. Those nations are buying us up. It talks about the sin that's going on in this country, the wickedness, and how when God's people forsake him, that God turns them over to their enemies, and how that God says, because you have forsaken me and served foreign gods in your own land, you will now serve foreigners in a land not your own. We talked about the Federal Reserve. We talked about the back in the 9/11, is 9/11 in the Bible podcast. We talked about, which you probably want to go back and listen to. If you haven't listened to it, you might want to listen to that podcast before this one, because I set a foundation there talking about the calf idol and how the money system is represented by a bull, which is the calf, and how ancient Israel went to, when Moses went up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments and brought them back down, Israel had taken all of their gold and melted it down and molded it into a golden calf, and they worshipped it. We talked about how Paul the Apostle talked about in the New Testament that greed is idolatry, and how it's just more hidden. Satan gets more crafty as he brings the people along and teaches them, from generation to generation how to be more deceptive. They get more quote-unquote illuminated and more deceptive at it, how the same things are going on. There's Satan has nothing new. He doesn't have creative speech. Only God has creative speech, and Satan can only take the ideas of God and pervert them, flip them around 180 degrees, and to make it more deceptive, to hide it a little bit more. But it's the same thing going on. It's the same thing. It's just gotten more deceptive. So a lot of the previous podcasts have laid the foundation for this one. And I thought this was kind of timely, as I said, with all the fear going on in the financial situation. They're talking about the banks, just the banks failing, and you know, the government bailing them out. You hear talk about the FDIC and how they're having to bail out some of the depositors, and they only have like $58 billion. IndyMac failed a couple weeks ago, and they had to put out, I think it was about $8 billion. And there's all this fear, fear, fear. Well, we have an awesome God, and He is on His throne, and the words of Scripture are playing out before our eyes, and we must be, we must trust Him. We got to trust Him, guys, you know. The Lord is almighty, and He knows what's going on. He's aware of our situation. We are watching the last days play out, and there's nothing about the last days or the prophecies of the last days that are taking God by surprise. And since we are the people of the Lord Almighty, you know, we should be trusting Him, and trusting Him that, you know, this is part of His plan, that it's playing out, He's in control, and if we trust the Lord, we're not going to get into that fear. So, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about that today. I'm going to go to the Scriptures, obviously, because, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to look to Babylon for understanding? We're not going to get any understanding from Babylon. Babylon is confusion. You know, the news stories coming out, we can kind of read between the lines and see what's happening in the world. But the only truth, guys, the only truth in this world comes from the Word of God. And I did add that word only. The only truth comes from the Word of God. And we've got to look to the Word of God. This is something that the Lord has impressed upon me recently, that we need to stay in the Scriptures to see what the truth is. We need to stay in the Scriptures to see where we're going, what we should be doing, and trusting the Holy Spirit of God to lead us, and He is our comforter. And it's, you know, it's not about closing our eyes and just pretending we're in fantasy land and everything's going okay, because we're not in fantasy land. We see the reality of the things that are going on in the world. We see it. But at the same time, even though we see the darkness that is coming upon the world spiritually, and we know that our battle is not with flesh and blood, but it's with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, and that those high places in the Old Testament are spoken of as pagan places of worship. So, you know, we know that there are members of government out there in the Bohemian Grove. We know they're worshiping the idol of Moloch through a stone owl. We know this is going on. We've been down the road. We've seen the conspiracies. We know there's wickedness going on. And now it's time to move on. It's time to move on. It's not time to beat people over the head with the hammer. I mean, now it's gone mainstream. You know, now you even have atheists and people who don't believe in the God of our fathers. They're now talking about the conspiracies. You know, we're here to offer the world the gospel, the good news. We're here to shine the light of the Word of God and to give people hope and to give people a direction. We know we're entering into a distressful time, as Christ spoke about in Matthew 24. We know we're entering into a time that is going to be the most distressful of any time ever. The Lord told us. He said, "See, I've told you these things ahead of time." In other words, don't be surprised. Don't act like it's, you know, it's taking you by surprise. I've told you these things ahead of time. He said that it would be a time of distress that would be unequaled from the beginning of time and would never take place again. We know all these things are coming. And what I want to do is to just provide a balance to that. No, we're not closing our eyes. We're seeing what's going on. But people need hope. We need hope. And our hope is in the Lord. The Lord is our light and our salvation. Of whom shall we be afraid? Psalm 27. We need hope because, you know, hope is that life preserver that keeps you from sinking down under the water. You know, David talked about the waters, the rushing torrents came up to my neck, you know. And this is happening to a lot of people. I'm getting emails from you guys, and you guys are saying, you know, I fear for my wife and my children. You know, God is awesome. And we don't have any guarantees about the flesh. That's why the resurrection of the dead is considered the blessed hope. And, you know, I want to let you guys know that we are going to feel distress in our flesh. We're going to feel it. But we got to walk in the Spirit and not walk in the flesh. We can't give in to this. We've got to walk in the Spirit, be aware of God, be aware that He's on His throne, that He's in control, and to keep our faith. And part of that faith is hope. And our hope is the blessed hope of the resurrection. That in the end, it doesn't matter what happens to our flesh, that our spirit is sealed with the precious Holy Spirit, and that we have that promise of the resurrection. So, excuse me. With all of this going on, all of these events swirling around us, threats of the economy falling down, you know, you can go back, like I said, and listen to my Amero podcast. They're trying to, you know, mesh Canada, Mexico, and the United States together into a North American Union. We see all these things taking place. But our Lord said, when you see all these things begin to take place, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Your redemption draweth nigh. So we are in a time where it seems like night is coming, but morning is also coming. Okay? As we get into the darkest part of the night, you know when that bright morning star starts to shine? It starts to shine at the darkest part of the night. So we may be entering into darkness, but we're also getting closer to that time when we will be in the kingdom of God, and we will all be together as a family, and we will realize what's spoken at the end of Revelation, the new heaven and the new earth, and that living water, the river of life flowing, and those two trees on each side of the river of life that bear fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees are the healing of the nations. This is all a reality as well. So as you see these prophecies taking place, and you see the darkness kicking in and getting darker, you also know that we're also getting close to those promises. And so I want to strengthen you and encourage you with that word, and tell you that we're all in this together. I'm with you. You guys are with me. We're all together. We're a family. We're going to stick together, and we're going to make it through this, and we're going to keep our faith no matter what they try to do. We have an awesome God, and He is on His throne. So with that being said, the name of this podcast is Fearing for the Calf Idol. And what I decided to do is to start out this podcast reading from the Word of God to set a foundation. I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 32. This is the account where Moses came down after he received the Ten Commandments. He came down. It was a long time. He was up there. I think it was like 40 days. And, you know, Israel was losing faith. You know, they're like, Moses has been up there a long time. And what they did was, you know, we're all aware of it. They built an idol without breath. Idols don't speak. They're dead. It's just material. It's nothing. There is no God. You know, when you mold an idol. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start reading Exodus 32. For those of you that have the ability to do so, you may want to grab your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 32 and read along with me. This will be in the New International Version. And we're going to start, obviously, in Exodus 32, verse 1. It says, "When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, 'Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him.' Aaron answered them, 'Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me.' So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool." There was a lot of crafting going on here. They took their valuables, the gold that represented their wealth, everything of value, and they cast an idol. Then they said, "These are your gods, O Israel." Do you feel that in the pit of your stomach? Yeah. Yeah, that's... Oh, I hate reading these words. "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." That was what they were saying was their sustenance. Can you imagine that? After all these wonders and miracles and plagues and the Passover and the blood on the doorposts, all these miracles, they got to the point where they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." How offensive that must have been to the Lord our God. When Aaron saw this, verse 5, when Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day the people arose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We have worship of a golden calf representing their wealth. And they got up to indulge in revelry. Does this sound familiar? Yeah. Yeah, greed is idolatry, and there's a lot of revelry going on. A lot of partying. Not worrying about anything. Let's just celebrate. Verse 7, then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt." They have become corrupt. "They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them, and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it, and have said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.'" See, the Lord who made the ear on man, does he not hear? The Lord heard that, and that was offensive to him. Think about it. Think about the heart of the Lord, how that must have hurt. After he's delivering his people Israel out of Egypt to deliver them into the promised land, he wants to give them promises. He wants to bless them. And here they are dancing around a golden calf, dancing around their wealth, and saying that this golden calf brought them out of Egypt. Verse 9, he says, "I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people." That just means they're rebellious. They don't want to hear anything. They got their own mindset and they're stuck in it, and that's what they want. "Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. Here Moses is interceding. He's interceding for the people. "O Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people." This was Moses interceding on behalf of the people. He went up into the gap and was coming between the people and the Lord like a high priest interceding. Remember, verse 13, "Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.' Then the Lord relented." Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. You see that? This is what we need to do, guys. We need to stand in the gap. We need to pray to the Lord. We need to pray to the Lord. No matter what the people have done, no matter how much the wickedness, and we've all been involved in it, we need to pray to the Lord and bring to remembrance, stir up the compassion and mercy. We need to stand in the gap and pray. And pray that the Lord would not bring disaster on his people. Because Moses did that. He set an example for us. He stood in the gap and the Lord relented. He relented. Verse 15, "Moses turned and went down the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. The tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God, engraved on the tablets." I want to stop and take a little tangent here, something I've often thought about, you know, that God wrote with his finger on those tablets. And remember the account of the prostitute in the New Testament where, you know, they caught her in the act of adultery and everybody was going by the law of Moses, and they were going to stone her to death, and Jesus wrote with his finger in the sand. A lot of people have questioned what he wrote in the sand. And I think the key there is he was writing with his finger, because the Bible doesn't mention any words that aren't important. He wrote with his finger in the sand. I think he was writing the Ten Commandments. I think he was writing the commandments there, and these people were looking at these commandments, and he said, "He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And these people threw down their stones and they walked away because they were watching God. As we said in the last podcast, you know, Jesus Christ was Emmanuel with us. They were watching God once again writing those commandments in the sand with his finger. I just thought I would add that in there as a little side note, because I thought that was an interesting insight that the Lord gave to me. Let's focus back on this. Verse 17, when Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, "There is sound of war in the camp." Moses replied, "It is not the sound of victory. It is not the sound of defeat. It is the sound of singing that I hear." When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf that they had made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it to powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. He said to Aaron, "What did these people do to you that you led them into such great sin?" "Do not be angry, my lord," Aaron answered. "You know how prone these people are to evil. They said to me, 'Make us gods who will go before us.' As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." So I told them, "Whoever has any gold jewelry, take it off." Then they gave me the gold, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. So, isn't that something we always do? We exaggerate, we mold the situation, and that's what Aaron did, because they crafted that calf. He didn't throw it into the fire and just magically, poof, it came out of the fire as a calf. So, yeah, it was pretty much soft-selling the situation. Verse 25, Moses saw that the people were running wild and that Aaron had let them get out of control and so become a laughingstock to their enemies. Isn't that how America has become? We have all the nations of the world looking at us and saying, you know, what's going on? You know, we got on the news. I just was looking at Yahoo today, and on the front page it's talking about Paris Hilton. It's talking about Paris Hilton. You know, Paris Hilton's going to paint the White House pink. I mean, this is, it's so ridiculous I don't even want to talk about it. It's frustrating. No wonder people are looking at us and, you know, people are asleep. They're living the American dream. You have to be asleep the dream. That's all I got to say. I've said it many times. But, yeah, they have become a laughingstock to their enemies. So he stood at the entrance to the camp and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And all the Levites rallied to him. It's interesting. All the priests came first. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each man, strap a sword to his side. Go back and forth through the camp from one end to the other, each killing his brother and friend and neighbor." Sounds a lot like Ezekiel chapter 9, doesn't it? When the man with the writing tablet at his side. God said, "Begin at my sanctuary." He said, "Go throughout the city and slay without compassion and without pity. In the day when the towers fall. In the day of great slaughter when the towers fall." This is all tying together. Those of you that have eyes to see will see how the scriptures are all tying together. The towers, the worship in Bethel of the golden calf. It's all happening again. Ephata, open your ears. It's all happening again. But this time it's more intense. It's more deceptive. It's all happening again. The worship through greed, which is idolatry, the golden calf on Fox News, that computer-generated city of New York with the computer-generated golden calf, the bull market, the calf, greed is idolatry. It's all happening again. We need to wake up. The Bible is true. The Word of God is true. We are in the last days. It's happening again. We're going into captivity. We're not reading fancy stories that just teach, you know, moral lessons in the Old Testament. We need to have the Lord God open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, and see what's going on. There's nothing different. They are still worshiping in the high places. They're still out in the Bohemian Grove worshiping Moloch. It's going on. We need to see it. We need to see it. Open our eyes and see what's going on. We need to wake up. Wake up, virgins. Trim your lamps. The Levites did as Moses commanded, verse 28. And that day about 3,000 of the people died. Then Moses said, "You have been set apart to the Lord today, for you were against your own sons and brothers, and he has blessed you this day." The next day Moses said to the people, "You have committed a great sin, but now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." And this, Moses in this role, was a picture, a type, a shadow of Christ, our Savior, who made atonement for our sins. Moses was an interceder. He interceded for the people. So Moses went back to the Lord and said, "Oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold." And there's been some talk, you know, that there's a difference, that mammon is paper money, that mammon is man's system, that mammon is just paper money, and that God's currency is gold and silver, and that's okay. But I don't think so. Even Jesus, in the day, when in the Roman Empire, when he said, "You cannot serve God and mammon," they didn't have paper money. All the coins, yeah, they may have been formed, and they had the image of Caesar on them, but it was still gold and silver, and that was considered mammon. So let's not make a differentiation between paper and gold. It's still money. You're trusting in money. You're trusting in a material value. It's not what it is. It's what's in your heart. Okay? So mammon is mammon is mammon is money. Doesn't matter whether it's gold, silver, paper, whatever. If you're not trusting in the Lord, you're trusting in mammon. Okay? So, verse 32, it says, "But now, please forgive their sin." This is Moses interceding. "But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written." How many of us would be willing to be blotted out of the book to save other people? That's something else. Meditate on that. That is the heart of a priest who is interceding for his people. I don't know many of us who could say, "Blot me out of the book," to save other people. But isn't that what Christ did? Isn't that what Christ did? He was bruised for us, beaten, crucified. He gave up his life. Was such a selfless act to take our judgment. That is the heart of a priest. Read Hebrews. Verse 33, "The Lord replied to Moses, 'Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Now go, lead the people to the place I spoke of, and my angel will go before you. However, when the time comes for me to punish, I will punish them for their sin.' And the Lord struck the people with a plague because of what they did with the calf Aaron had made." All right, let's move on. We're going to go to the chapter of Deuteronomy, chapter 9. Deuteronomy, chapter 9, starting at verse 1. We're going to move right through this. I'm going to try to make this podcast not so long. If it's moving a little too fast, if it's too much meat, go back and listen to the podcast and meditate on it. We're going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 1. "Hear, O Israel, You are now about to cross the Jordan to go in and dispossess nations greater and stronger than you, with large cities that have walls up to the sky. With walls up to the sky. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, "The wealth of the wicked is their fortified wall. They imagine it unscalable." Actually, I believe, if I quote it correctly, "The wealth of the wicked is their fortified city. The wealth of the wicked is their fortified city. They imagine it an unscalable wall." Make the connection. If you make these connections between these verses, you follow the words, and you make the connections, it all fits together. It's awesome. It's not a mystery. You just need the Holy Spirit to lead you to how to put the pieces together. He says, "Hear, O Israel, you are now about to cross the Jordan to go in and dispossess nations greater and stronger than you, with large cities that have walls up to the sky." There's a lot of money involved, a lot of wealth. "The people are strong and tall, giants." New York Giants, anybody? "The people are strong and tall, Anakites. You know about them and have heard it said, 'Who can stand up against the Anakites?'" Listen to what God says. "But be assured today that the Lord your God is the one who goes across ahead of you like a devouring fire. He will destroy them. He will subdue them before you, and you will drive them out and annihilate them quickly, as the Lord has promised you." As the Lord has promised you. Verse 4. "After the Lord your God has driven them out before you, do not say to yourself, 'The Lord has brought me here to take possession of this land because of my righteousness.' No, it is on account of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is going to drive them out before you. It's not because we're so righteous. It's not anything we did. It's because that they're so wicked." When he balanced it on the scales, it wasn't that your righteousness was so great. It's because their wickedness was so great. Verse 5, "It is not because of your righteousness or your integrity that you are going in to take possession of their land, but on account of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God will drive them out before you to accomplish what he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand then that it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stiff-necked people. You're rebellious. I'm only doing this because they're so wicked." We're to humble ourselves in front of the Lord. "Remember this, and never forget how you provoked the Lord your God to anger in the desert. From the day you left Egypt until you arrived here, you have been rebellious against the Lord. At Horeb, you aroused the Lord's wrath so that he was angry enough to destroy you. When I went up on the mountains to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant that the Lord had made with you, I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I ate no bread and drank no water." Are you seeing the similarities here between Moses and Christ, the type, shadow, fulfillment? "The Lord gave me 2 stone tablets inscribed," there it is, "by the finger of God." By the finger of God. That was the connection that we made to Jesus writing in the sand with his finger. He was probably writing the Ten Commandments. In fact, I think it's pretty much proved. I'm pretty sure that was the point. "On them were all the commandments the Lord proclaimed to you on the mountain out of the fire on the day of the assembly. At the end of the 40 days and 40 nights, the Lord gave me the 2 stone tablets, the tablets of the covenant. Then the Lord told me, 'Go down from here at once, because your people, whom you brought out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have turned away quickly from what I commanded them and have made a cast idol for themselves.' And the Lord said to me, 'I have seen this people, and they are a stiff-necked people indeed. Let me alone so that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven. and I will make you into a nation stronger and more numerous than they. So I turned and went down from the mountain while it was ablaze with fire, and the two tablets of the covenant were in my hands. When I looked, I saw that you had sinned against the Lord your God. You had made for yourselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. You had turned aside quickly from the way that the Lord had commanded you. So I took the two tablets and threw them out of my hands, breaking them to pieces before your eyes. Then, once again I fell prostrate before the Lord. For 40 days and 40 nights I ate no bread and drank no water, because of all the sin that you had committed, doing what was evil in the Lord's sight, and so provoking him to anger. I feared the anger and wrath of the Lord, for he was angry enough with you to destroy you. But again the Lord listened to me. And the Lord was angry enough with Aaron to destroy him. But at that time I prayed for Aaron too. There is the loving intercession of the high priest. Also, I took that sinful thing of yours, the calf you had made, and burned it in the fire. Then I crushed it and ground it to powder as fine as dust, and threw the dust into a stream that flowed down the mountain. You also made the Lord angry at Taberah, at Massah, and Kibroth, and Hatava. And when the Lord sent you out from Kadesh Barnea, he said, "Go up and take possession of the land I have given you." But you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You did not trust him or obey him. You have been rebellious against the Lord ever since I have known you. I lay prostrate before the Lord those 40 days and 40 nights because the Lord had said he would destroy you. I prayed to the Lord and said, "O sovereign Lord, do not destroy your people, your own inheritance that you redeemed by your great power and brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Overlook the stubbornness of this people, their wickedness and their sin. Otherwise, the country from which you brought us will say, 'Because the Lord was not able to take them into the land he had promised them, and because he hated them, he brought them out to put them to death in the desert.' But they are your people, your inheritance, that you brought out by your great power and your outstretched arm." I wanted to read those two passages. They're side-by-side passages. One is the account and one is Moses talking to the people. And this is just something else. When you see this, it just blows your mind. You're like, it's going on again. You know, people are just, they're greedy. This whole market system, and there's just, you know, this wealth, and it's just affluence, and people are not paying attention to the Lord. They're not paying attention to him. They're again a stiff-necked people. They're not listening. I want to move on to swiftly move along here to the book of Hosea, chapter 8. It's the book of Hosea, chapter 8. Now, once you guys, we're gonna calm down here. I'm getting a little hyped up. Moving a little fast here. Let's take a deep breath. Okay. Let's slow down here for a second, because this is a chapter that I want you guys to really listen to. I want you to think about the United States of America. I want you to think what the symbol of the United States of America is. It's an eagle. I want you to think about a trumpet, and how the trumpet or the ram's horn or the shofar was what the watchman used. I want you to think of your voice as a trumpet. Lift up your voice and speak to people, because this is the truth. The Old Testament tells the truth. It's all the Holy Scriptures that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's not just a book. It's not just moral stories. It's happening again. It's happening again. Hosea chapter 8, verse 1. "Lord, please open the spiritual eyes and the spiritual understanding of your people." Hosea chapter 8, verse 1. "Put the trumpet to your lips. Cry out. put the trumpet to your lips, exclamation point. An eagle is over the house of the Lord. An eagle is over the house of the Lord. Because the people have broken my covenant and rebelled against my law. Remember the situation with Roy Moore in Alabama and the Supreme Court of Alabama? They took the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse. They have broken the covenant of the Lord our God. They rebelled against the law. They took prayer out of schools. They don't care about the Holy One of Israel. Prophesy unto us illusions. Tell us pleasant things. Stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. Hosea chapter 8, verse 2. And this is, you know, think about all the churches. Think about all the people who are going to churches all across this country. And they're like, we're worshiping you, Lord. We know you. Verse 2. Israel cries out to me, oh, our God, we acknowledge you! Exclamation point. Verse 3. But Israel has rejected what is good. An enemy will pursue him. An enemy will pursue him. And yes, we have many enemies that are pursuing us. In fact, we have a bunch of traitors in the White House who are in with the Arabs and they are looting us. We have enemies within this country. Here we go, talking about the presidential election coming up and how the people vote on the president. Listen to the similarities here. Open your eyes. Let the light shine in. Hosea chapter 8, verse 4. They set up kings without my consent. They set up kings without my consent. They choose princes without my approval. Nobody's asking God who he wants to lead. It was bad enough in ancient Israel when they asked for a king. That must have broken God's heart. The Lord is our king. But they're like, we want a king like all the other nations. So in his anger, he gave them a king. And in his anger, he took them away. They set up kings without my consent. They choose princes without my approval. We get to the point where we have kings, and now they go one step further, and they don't even ask God's approval on who they're going to choose as a king. With their silver and gold, they make idols for themselves. With their monetary system, gadget, 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 computers, Blackberries, video games, televisions, all idols because they're taking their attention away from the Lord. Everything's an endless distraction in this country. Endless distractions, anything to avoid the big empty. Well, the only reason it's empty is because they're not filling it with the knowledge of the Lord. Distraction, distraction, distraction. With their silver and gold, they make idols for themselves to their own destruction. All these idols do is just destroy you. Hosea 8, chapter 8, verse 5. Throw out your calf idol, O Samaria. And I can't help, maybe this is, you know, whatever, but I can't help but think of Uncle Sam. The area of Uncle Sam. You know, a lot of people say America and the British colonies are like Ephraim and Manasseh. You know, Samaria, it's not beyond comprehension. Throw out your calf idol, O Samaria. My anger burns against them. How long will they be incapable of purity? They are from Israel. This calf, a craftsman has made it. It is not God. A craftsman. Don't the Freemasons consider themselves craftsmen? Wow. The Word of God really does tell the truth. Hello, welcome to your wake-up call. This calf, a craftsman has made it. Wasn't America founded by Freemasons, craftsmen? Oh, they're Masons, they build, but they're free. They're Freemasons. Why? Because they're not free. They just think they're free from the Lord's controls. They're under the control of the man of lawlessness. Throw out your calf idol, O Samaria. My anger burns against them. They are from Israel. This calf, a craftsman has made it. It is not God. It will be broken in pieces, that calf of Samaria. They sow the wind, and they reap the whirlwind. They keep sowing the seeds of wickedness. And in the Bible, in the New Testament, Paul the Apostle wrote, "Be ye not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap a harvest if you faint not. Be not deceived. God cannot be mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Whatsoever a man soweth, whatever seeds he plants, he's going to eat the fruit of that plant that brings forth the fruit. If you sow to please the flesh, from the flesh you will reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap life everlasting. They sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no head. It will produce no flower. Were it to yield grain, foreigners would swallow it up. If you produce anything, it doesn't matter. You're at a point where just foreigners are going to come in like locusts and just eat it up. Israel is swallowed up. Now she is among the nations like a worthless thing. You blew your reputation. Your righteousness was your wall. It was your protection because they couldn't accuse you. They had to lie to accuse you. Now they're just telling the truth. Now you're among the nations like a worthless thing. For they have gone up to Assyria. Assyria is like the area of the Arabs. Like a wild donkey wandering alone, Ephraim has sold herself to lovers. Yeah, it's sexual immorality. It's adultery. God says you're a companion of thieves. All your allies, they're all your lovers. You're in bed with them. Although they have sold themselves among the nations, I will now gather them together. They will begin to waste away under the oppression of the mighty king. Though Ephraim built many altars for sin offerings, we have churches on every corner. These have become altars for sinning. They've become a place where we just sin 6 days a week, and then we go in on the seventh day, and then we confess it. They just become altars for sinning. I wrote for them the many things of my law, verse 12. I wrote for them the many things of my law, but they regarded them as something alien. Oh, that's the Old Testament. They offer sacrifices given to me, and they eat the meat, but the Lord is not pleased with them. Now he will remember their wickedness and punish their sins. They will return to Egypt. And Egypt is a symbol for economic and financial slavery. Economic and financial slavery and oppression. Woe to those who go down to Egypt. Egypt is a splintered reed of a staff that when a man leans on it, it will pierce his hand. Microchips, anybody? When a man leans on it, it will pierce his hand. Welcome to the wonderful truth of the Word of God. Israel has forgotten his maker and built palaces. Judah has fortified many towns, but I will send fire upon their cities that will consume their fortresses. You know, I was talking to a friend in Australia. You know what they call America over in Australia? Check it out for yourself. They call us the Big Smoke. The Big Smoke. Kind of prophetic, if you ask me. Because this country doesn't have to be on literal fire. There doesn't have to be a plume of literal smoke rising up in the air. We're called consumers. There's wickedness going on. And I call this country to repent. To repent. The Bible says that wickedness burns like a fire. Wickedness burns like a fire. And the more wickedness there is, the hotter the spiritual fire is. And there's a spiritual cloud of smoke rising up. It's not just America, it's the world. We're just the torch holder of Babylon. We're holding out the cup of our culture to the rest of the world and making everybody drink and go mad. I'm not angry. I'm upset. I'm distressed at what's going on. And then I look at myself. I'm a sinner if it isn't for the grace of God. This here is the law. This is the sword. This is the sword because it tells the truth. It has no compassion. It's like, zit, 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 you broke the law. There's no compassion. There's no understanding. It's just, did you do it or didn't you do it? Is it zero? Is it off or is it one? And it's on, like binary. It's like either it is or it isn't. It's black and white. I've talked about this before. The sword comes after everybody. There's no compassion. It's supposed to drive you to the throne of God to ask Him for mercy and grace. That's the reason the Messiah came. See, folks, this is the bad news. The bad news is we're guilty. But the good news is the gospel. Christ came to bear our judgment and our sin. And what did He say? He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, 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 repent. Repentance starts in the mind. Change your mind. Agree with God about what the sword is telling you. Agree with God. There's grace and mercy and compassion at the feet of our Lord. But we must repent. We need to come out of Babylon. We need to understand what's going on, that the wickedness, the worship of Molech, the worship in the groves, the high places, it's still going on. They're still worshiping the golden calf. It's just hidden. It's all spiritual now. The greed is idolatry. They're still worshiping it. And that's what I'm trying to get across in this podcast, is it's still going on. Let's move along to Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10. Stay with me. Sharpen up. Stay awake. Hosea chapter 10, verse 1. Israel was a spreading vine. He brought forth fruit for himself. As his fruit increased, he built more altars. As he grew, he built more altars. As his land prospered, he adorned his sacred stones. Their heart is deceitful, and now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will demolish their altars and destroy their sacred stones. Then they will say, "We have no king, because we did not revere the Lord." Then they will say, "We have no king, because we did not revere the Lord." But even if we had a king, what could he do for us? They make many promises, take false oaths, and make agreements. They make many promises, take false oaths, and make agreements. Therefore, in the light of all this, lawsuits spring up like poisonous weeds in a plowed field. Listen to the metaphorical pictures that travel through your mind as these words pass through the gates to your temple that we know as our ears. Therefore, lawsuits spring up like poisonous weeds in a plow field. Isn't everybody suing each other? Because there's all this falsehood going on. There's greed. Nobody cares about anything. The people, listen to this verse, Hosea 10:5. The people who live in Samaria fear for the calf idol of Beth Avon. And I had a listener, Linda, who made me aware of this. It basically means the house of vanity. Beth Avon means the house of vanity. I got a little note here. Let me check and see what it says. Beth Avon means house of wickedness. A name for Bethel, which means house of God. Avon, a reference to Beth Avon, a derogatory name for Bethel. Okay, let me read that again. The people who live in Samaria fear for the calf idol of Beth Avon. Think about it. What's going on? Everybody's shaking in their boots over the economy. They're fearing for the calf idol of Beth Avon. The people who live in Samaria fear for the calf idol. Its people will mourn over it, and so will its idolatrous priests. Do you want a clue in on who the idolatrous priests are? Open your ears. It's finance ministers. Ministers. Isn't God's servants called ministers? But these are finance ministers. Those are the idolatrous priests of the golden calf idol. Those who had rejoiced over its splendor because it is taken from them into exile. It's gone. All that splendor of the economy, all that abundance, boom, gone in a moment. It will be carried to Assyria as tribute for the great king. What's going on, guys? It's being sent to the Arabs, isn't it? Wow, this was written a long time ago and it's happening again. I know I say it over and over again and I'm repeating myself, but it's just mind-blowing. It's right there in the scriptures. It will be carried to Assyria as tribute for the great king. Ephraim will be disgraced. Israel will be ashamed of its wooden idols. Samaria and its king will float away like a twig on the surface of the waters. The high places of wickedness will be destroyed. The high places, the pagan places of worship, the Bohemian Grove and others like it, the grove worship. They go out under their supposed sacred oaks and do druid and satanic worship, the spiritual powers of darkness, and they defy the living God. The high places of wickedness will be destroyed. Whoever's listening out there, if you're a part of these spiritual wickedness in high places, listen to the word of God. It says they will be destroyed. Do you dare to stand against the word of God? They will be destroyed. It is the sin of Israel. Thorns and thistles will grow up and cover their altars. Then they will say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. Isn't that interesting? There's language that matches up with Revelation. The rich men of the earth will run to the caves and they will ask the rocks to fall on them. There is the beautiful harmony between Revelation and this verse in Hosea. Then they will say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. Verse 9, since the days of Gibeah you have sinned, O Israel, and there you have remained. Did not war overtake the evildoers in Gibeah? When I please, I will punish them. Nations will be gathered against them to put them in bonds for their double sin. This is what's going on. The nations are coming against us. And our leaders don't seem to be doing anything. If they aren't in cahoots with them, they're not doing anything to make it look like they're not. You know, they're going over and shaking hands with all these princes and stuff. You know, our president's an oil man. They're in oil. I don't know. I'm not trying to judge anybody and slam the gavel down, but what are we supposed to think? What are we supposed to think? Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh, so I will put a yoke on her fair neck. I will drive Ephraim. Judah must plow, and Jacob must break up the ground. Sow for yourselves righteousness. That's that verse. Be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap a harvest if you faint not, if you don't stop. Sow righteousness, plant seeds of righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up your unplowed ground, that fallow ground, that ground that's got that hard crust on the top, the hardened heart, the hardened soil of your heart. Jesus said in the parable of the sower, he said, the seed is the word of God. We plant the seed of the word of God in people's hearts. Break up your unplowed ground. Weep. Mourn, repent, soften your heart, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. That's those latter rains when he will pour out his spirit on all flesh, as it says in the book of Joel. Hosea chapter 10, verse 13. But you have planted wickedness, you have reaped evil, you have eaten the fruit of deception. All these conspiracies. Got you where you can't trust anything. It's got you disillusioned. Because they sowed the wind, reaping the whirlwind, and they've eaten the fruit of deception. Because you have depended on your own strength and on your many warriors. I've sat behind vehicles where we got an American flag on the bumper sticker and it says the power of pride. Well, if that isn't just a tell-all. The power of pride. It says that in Daniel, it says, he shall trust in a God of fortresses, whose strength, I think it says in Habakkuk chapter 1, it says that whose strength is their own God. They trust in their own strength. Verse 14, the roar of battle will rise against your people, so that all your fortresses will be devastated, as Shalmon devastated Beth Arbel on the day of battle, when mothers were dashed to the ground with their children. Thus will it happen to you, O Bethel, because your wickedness is great. Bethel means the house of God. Because your wickedness is great. When that day dawns, the king of Israel will be completely destroyed. Man, I don't know much. I really don't know what else to say. I think the word of God is pretty clear. I don't even need to expound upon it. I'm just giving you a key to match up the words of the word of God to what's going on and saying, make the connection. You know? And a lot of you guys are seeing this out there. I know that. But I'm putting this out there for the people, you know, because who knows who's going to listen to this podcast? Who knows? You know? They might even be downloading this. Some of the people in government might be downloading this. They've got to hear what's going on. They have to know that the Lord knows their plan. The gig's up. They're actually fulfilling what was written in the scriptures years and years and years ago. Thousands of years ago. I want to finish up with Psalm 108. I don't really remember why I chose this psalm, but I'm just going to read it to you because it was laid on my heart. Psalm 108, a psalm of David. My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make music with all my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples, for great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. Save us and help us with your right hand. And what is his right hand? You ever heard of somebody say, oh, that's my right hand man? Didn't Christ say that he would sit at the right hand of the Father? Didn't Isaiah 53, that talked about our Messiah, say, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who has believed our message? Christ is the right hand of the Father. The right hand is what does the action of the will. When you have a will to pick something up, generally it is your hand that picks it up. It is your right hand. Christ is the right hand of the Father. Save us and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered. God has spoken from his sanctuary. In triumph I will parcel out Shechem and measure off the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, and Judah my scepter. Moab is my washbasin, upon Edom I toss my sandal, over Philistia I shout in triumph. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, O God, you who have rejected us and no longer go out with our armies? Give us aid against the enemy, for the help of man is worthless. The help of man is worthless. And here is the end of the matter. Psalm 108:13. With God we will gain the victory, and he will trample down our enemies. The end of the matter is this. We're in a bad situation, and only God can deliver us. So why aren't we crying out to God? That is the answer. To cry out to the Lord. The Lord doesn't deliver people who haven't been pushed to the point to see their oppression to cry out for deliverance. You see this coming? Cry out to the Lord for mercy. With God, we will gain the victory, and He will trample down our enemies. He makes our crooked paths straight. He is our deliverer. He is our rescuer. He is our Messiah. He is our everything. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the bright morning star. He is our husband, our kinsman redeemer. It shall come to pass in the last days that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no name under heaven, other name under heaven, whereby men must be saved. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. For it is with the heart that men believe, but it is with the mouth that they make confession unto salvation. Call unto the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Today, not tomorrow. Have you ever lived in any other day than today? Have you ever lived tomorrow or yesterday? No. Every day is today. Now is the time of salvation. I've went through this podcast. People are fearing. They're fearing over the calf idol. But I'm pointing towards the Lord. The Lord is our salvation. They did not thirst when they went through the desert. He gave them drink from the rock, and that rock was Christ. Christ is our spiritual ark. Reach out to Him. Call on the name of the Lord. Call on Him. Don't listen. You know, we have our eyes open. We see what's going on. We see that it's happening again. We see that the scriptures are true. They're so true. It's so true that it almost blows your mind. Call out to the Lord. This is the bad news on the left hand. On the right hand, here's the good news. There is a rescue. There is a rescue. In the day of great slaughter, when the towers fall, streams of living water will flow from every lofty hill. And the moon shall shine like the sun, and the sun shall shine like the light of 7 full days when the Lord binds up the wounds of His people that He inflicted. The sword is polished for slaughter. It swings back and forth. And they shall not escape, though they dig down into the grave. From there my hand will reach them. The sword is coming, people. The sword is coming. The sword has no compassion and no mercy. But there is mercy if we repent. If we repent and we humble ourselves, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. If we bow our knees in front of the Lord and humble ourselves, He will exalt us. Just like when the angel of death came over Egypt, but they painted the blood on the doorposts. That blood was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, represented by the Lamb of God, painted on the doorposts of our heart, so that the angel of death would pass over us. Reach out to Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. And I'll leave you guys with that. Thanks, guys, for listening. Thanks for going through this study with me. I hope it was a blessing. I hope God opened the eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your heart, so that you could make the connections with what's going on today with the verses of the Holy Scriptures. And I wanted to leave you with this also. I was thinking about this the other day, you know. Burn some of these podcasts. Burn them onto CD. Hand them out. Make copies of them, because we don't know what's going to happen with the internet. You know, we don't know what's going on. Make copies of this. Get it out to people. Talk to people. Let that fire inside, that burns inside like a fire, shut up in your bones. Be bold. You shall receive power, and you will be my witnesses. Should we obey God or man? Get out there and talk to people. Don't worry about the stares of the wicked. They're going to look at you. You know, you can shine a bright light in people's eyes that are blind and they can't see it because they're blind. But you've got to plant the seeds. If you don't plant the seeds, there's nothing there for God to give the increase to. Go ye into all the nations and make disciples of all men. Don't wait for them to make their own decisions. Befriend them. Give them the gospel. Be there day in and day out, being a light and a testimony and an example to them. Okay? Thanks, guys, for listening. If this podcast has helped you out, please help us to keep coming to you as the Lord leads. And I want to let you guys know that I love you guys very much. I've received some great emails of encouragement. It's just wonderful. It's wonderful. And I want you guys to know that you mean a lot to me. And I see the downloads. I see downloads in South Africa. I see downloads in China, in Australia, even way up in Hudson Bay, up in Alaska. There's downloads all over the United States. You know, the podcast is growing. People are listening. And, wow, it's just an awesome, awesome thing. It's awesome. But thank you guys for your prayers. Those of you out there that pray for the podcast, that pray for me, it really means a lot. And, you know, we're struggling in this world, but there is victory. There's victory in the end. With God, we will gain the victory, and He will trample down our enemies. So hang tough. Hang in there. It might seem like a marathon. It may seem like the finish line is there, and then it keeps getting pulled away. Some of you guys out there might be weary. Go to the throne. Cast all your cares on the Lord, for He cares for you. I'm going to give you my contact information. Once again, you can visit the True Stream podcast site at truthstream.podomatic.com. There's various little things you can get involved there. I would appreciate it if you make a comment on the podcast. There's a comment link at the bottom of the podcast. You make comments there. There's also information on the right side that you can check out. And check out some of the other podcasts for some of you guys that may just be coming on board. There is a link on the right-hand side that says Archive Shows. It's a little small link, but it does take you to the Podango site. You may have a couple of different podcasts. I just upgraded to the Plus service at Podomatic. I've received some help from you guys, and I really appreciate it. So we're going to, if we can keep that going, because I don't want to take any of the podcasts down. They're still getting downloaded, and we're adding more here. So as we grow, we're going to need more space. We're going to need more bandwidth. And only as the Lord leads, like I said. So, but you guys can contact me, write me an email, shoot me an email, let me know what you think. You know, and I will write back. And you guys that have written me know that I will write back. And I'm, you know, it's not a canned email. I'm going to write you back, respond to whatever, you know, because I want to get to know you guys as much as I can. I guess I'm realizing as the email load grows that I'm not going to be able to write as long emails. But I do want to make it personal and get to know you guys. So that's just a joy for me. So I'll do as much as I can for as long as I can. And I do pray for you guys. I physically pray for you guys every day. I may not know all of your names, but I do pray that God would hide you guys under the shadow of His wings and watch over you and in whatever situation you might be in. And, you know, many of you guys have emailed and said that this podcast is a comfort to you. Well, your emails are a comfort to me. So it's awesome. Just appreciate it. But, yeah, like I said, you can contact me at epiphos@hotmail.com, or I'm adding in the new email, epiphos@gmail.com. So either one of them, but God bless you guys. God bless you guys with grace and peace. I'm your host, Amos Ridley, and if I don't see you guys on this side, I certainly hope to see you on the other side. Thank you.
Rest for your soul.